Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
Welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you, the listener, direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are Michael Geer at the Pennsylvania Family Institute and Jason McGuire with New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms. Michael, there's an expression that goes something like this: when a certain place freezes over. That's what Republicans in your state are saying will happen before the Wolf budget passes. That $38 billion spending plan was announced this week, and Republicans are calling it dead on arrival. Explain some of the finer points, if you would.
Yeah, I think the funeral services can be planned already for this, the governor's budget, because if you just look at social media, what the Republican senators and House members are saying is that there's no way this budget's going to pass. Some of the details on it include a 46% increase in the state income tax. And remember that this is being done on top of an economy that has been decimated by many of the governor's impositions in the COVID pandemic. So yeah. I don't see this passing as the governor has set forth in his budget address this week.
All right, we'll talk more about the budget in just a bit, but let's head to Albany. And this nursing home scandal continues to grow by the day. A state Supreme Court judge has now ordered the Cuomo administration to hand over data. Jason, what's this all about?
You know, they often say that the cover-up is worse than the crime, right? And I think that this is a case to where, while not criminal, I don't want to use that term, but the analogy there, the cover-up is the problem. Essentially, the governor had numbers regarding this nursing home situation, number of deaths there, that for months could not be released. And then suddenly, when the Attorney General's office released a report showing numbers were 50% higher than were first thought, all of a sudden the numbers were produced. And now the governor has been backpedaling and trying to cover his tracks regarding this matter. It's going to be a deeply problematic issue for him on the political front.
Do you think he did himself a lot of harm when he said, what difference does it make? If a nursing home patient dies in a nursing home or in a hospital, what difference does that make? Did he hurt himself with that comment?
You know, I was watching that live, and as soon as he said the words, who cares where they, you know, then went on to say whether they died at a nursing home or at a hospital, what difference does it make? A couple of thoughts that came to mind. First, as soon as you heard the phrase, who cares? Yeah. From a public relations perspective, it did not play well. It just showed him as callous and uncaring on the issue. Yeah. Second, to look at that, what difference does it make comment, reminded us of what happened with Hillary Clinton and Benghazi. So to many conservatives, they were up in arms right off the bat regarding that use of language. And again, it's just problematic for a governor who manages his political public relations persona so well. To watch him fumble this so badly is, I think, the indicative of some tough times to come in the months ahead for him.
All right, Michael, let's talk about the Wolf budget. Of course, this is a lame duck governor and giving the General Assembly some leverage. You know, he talked about these big tax increases as a way to fund education. But when it comes to school choice, it's actually the opposite is going to happen. There's a popular tax credit in your state that is all of a sudden in danger. Please explain that.
Well, if the pandemic taught us anything with the school closings and things like that, is that parents need more options for schooling, not less. And yet the governor's budget, including big increases in public education, seeks to cut back on options for parents, whether it's charter schools with cutting back and restricting cyber charter schools and changing the funding formula to that, and specifically on the EITC program, a tremendously popular program that provides choice for parents to send their kids to Christian schools and other private schools. The governor wants to impose regulations on that would severely curtail the options for parents.
Jason, you know, I was thinking this week, I've never seen a country so divided as it is now. There's cries for unity all over the place, but doesn't seem to be taking root. And I think since the Civil War, we haven't had a country so fractured as it is now. And to kind of get out in front of this, you're hosting these weekly telephone prayer conference calls. It's amazing what prayer does. But this weekly event is focusing on New York State elected officials. Please explain how this worked and why you decided to do this.
Yeah, well, I just think we are at one of those difficult times in the country right now, and one of the things that's true is when you are praying for someone, it's hard to harbor bitterness, anger, resentment towards them, and our country does need healing right now. Our political system needs healing. New York needs God's healing touch, and so one of the things we can do is we can encourage prayer. So Tuesday mornings at 8:15 in the morning, we have people from all across the state who are dialing into a conference call. I share some current items for that week's legislative agenda, some concerns we have or bills we want to see moved. We'll update you on some issues regarding legislators, how we can more effectively pray for specific legislators. And then we spend time in prayer. It's a conference call. It's not a video call. So at 8:15 in the morning, you don't have to be all dialed up for the call. You can just dial in, listen, and participate with us through prayer. Folks can sign up at albanyupdate.com where there's an article related to this topic.
The other big story this week, Michael, was Kathy Buchvar, the Secretary of State, the top elected official in the Commonwealth, out of a job. Does her resignation, I know this story has nothing to do with the election technically, but does her resignation lend credibility to those who claim that she grossly mishandled the 2020 election in Pennsylvania?
Well, it certainly points to her incompetence and the incompetence of her office, what happened with this particular thing that led to her resignation on a constitutional amendment notification. But some of it may just raise questions about, was she so distracted and her department so distracted in terms of setting up the 2020 elections and perhaps, kind of trying to change what the legislature wanted with the election and what the law specifically said with the election, that they were so focused on that they forgot to do the job that was directly in front of them related to this amendment. So I think it does continue to raise questions about what happened in the 2020 election.
All right, Jason, let's talk about the budget adoption process in New York. Last week, you mentioned this effort to perhaps legalize prostitution. There's a big push for marijuana this year. Do you expect most of these social issues that are being pursued in Albany will be handled as part of the budget negotiations, or will these be standalone separate items later in the session?
I think it's a mixed bag. I think probably commercial cannabis, the recreational marijuana, mobile sports betting is an issue that will be handled in the budget. That will be difficult to push back against being handled that way. The legalization of prostitution is probably a different issue, and I just don't think there'll be legislative support to handle it through the budget. It's much more nuanced, and that will probably be handled as standalone legislation in the months and years to come.
All right. Focus on the family, Michael. I'd love to get your comment on this. Blocked by Twitter for a comment made about the former health secretary in Pennsylvania, Dr. Rachel Levine. Twitter called this hate speech. What's your reaction?
Well, certainly not hate speech. It was just a statement of the fact and of the truth, and just an explanatory statement for people who were reading this tweet. It was a tweet that said Dr. Rachel Levine has been appointed to the Health and Human Services in Washington, D.C., and then it went on to say, Dr. Levine is a transgender woman, that is, a man who believes he is a woman. And Twitter flagged that as hate speech and basically told Focus on the Family, take it down or we will block your ability to tweet. And that is my understanding of where it is. Now, contrast that, if you will, Bob, to an ACLU tweet from yesterday that said, myth, sex is binary, apparent at birth, and identifiable through singular biological characteristics. Now, that's not a myth. That's actually true. Sex is binary. But the Twitter has done nothing about ACLU teaching fact or teaching a myth and stating a fact as myth. And that's the contrast is, I think they're one-sided on this.
That big tech double standard, hard to believe. Yes. And before we go, Jason, update us on where things stand with the only congressional race in the country that is still undecided, New York 22.
Well, we're still where we were in New York 22. We don't yet have a determination, but I think at some point a few days, this has got to be careening towards Claudia Tenney pulling out the win there in New York 22. The Brindisi camp is doing everything they can to try to stop her from being seated, but I think the judge there is getting very frustrated with all the new efforts that the Brindisi camp is trying to bring, and I assume very shortly there will be a representative Claudia Tenney in New York 22.
Well, let's hope it's done soon or else that may be the next election before it's decided. Who knows? So many issues, so little time, but if you have questions about the great work going on at the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Michael, where can they find you?
PAFamily.org.
And stay informed on all the issues in New York as well. Jason McGuire.
AlbanyUpdate.com.